interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 452 for the past cast. Put that in and search engine should pick us up a little bit. And so you know what where to go to get some of the links that I talk about if you want to pick up what I'm saying to do some further research in tracking down these miscreants that we have to deal with behind the woodshed. Again, I hope it's cricketude busting. I hope it's something that we're going to rise above. And as I've said before, some of the problem here is people are just going to ignore eventually, just not put up with it, which is one of the, it's not an answer, but it's a response. And we're starting to see less and less people engage this thing. What happened was the system knew, figured out how to play everybody, and they're just, if there's anything that kind of calms down, they're just going to up their game even more. But I don't think it's going to be that much to up their game. They've got it pretty well. Everyone seems to be, they need, it's pretty much on the leash. But, that said, lots of people are starting to see, those of us that have been on the hunt of this, even early on, or on lately, are now starting to speak of certain things to do, as I've been saying here behind the woodshed. We're going to get a little bit of that explained to us in a moment. But I wanted to mention that I do appreciate your dedication to bringing the people behind the woodshed all these years. You've allowed me to focus on what I believe I do better. And thank you for being you. You've done good. No, none of this may rise to the level that it could. I guess my point is there's not enough words here to describe what you've allowed to me here to get to people, to tell them and explain and make the record. And you will be missed, and may the peace, Prince of Peace keep you. I know there's lots of ideas about what's going on, but appreciate that you're leaving on the solstice. It's very important in looking at the bigger us, hopefully. You've undoubtedly decided to rise on the third day. If we go down the track there to see the wretched and remaining here, all of us, into a new season. And we're waiting our turn. So this is a terminal event. And though it's sad to see you go, it's part of the process, isn't it? Hopefully, and I hope in the future that our paths will cross yet again. As you head out, Grimner, you might want to help us out as you're moving out. See the Parker probe, just which is being reported that it just touched the sun, though not really. And yeah, this is what the world we live in here. But fascinating nonetheless, the technology. Maybe you can experience this as you move on out here. The Parker solar probe, for the first time in history, a spacecraft has touched the sun. NASA's Parker probe has now done what no spacecraft has done before it, and it's officially touched the sun. And so we see, I appreciate the technology behind all this, but you see they even fudge on this. But again, as you're on your way, maybe you can pass through the sun and let NASA know it's condensed matter, not gas. And if it were a gas, it couldn't have the surface described in the article. They mention a surface of the sun many a couple of times, yet they force a gaseous model upon us, none of which makes any sense. It can't be a surface in a gas. And so maybe, Grimner, on your way out, you can reflect back upon us and explain to them to stop the nonsense in that charade as well. And also, as you make sure your experience on the way out, you get to see the comet Leonard on your way to the restaurant. And we can see how to see that. It's only going to be here a very short time left. It's the proper time to see it on the horizon. The comet Leonard was just found, and it's on the low on the horizon. And it's going to take a bit to see it. You can probably see it with the binoculars if you're here on Earth. But I'm sure, Grimner, you're going to be able to sense it as you're experiencing the universe as we go. Journey well, my friend, however distant. Thinking about behind the woodshed, what, you know, this time of transition and what I've been doing, what I do, why I do it, where I do it, how I do it. I just don't understand. At some point, there's always that question, how long do I continue? And yet there's something that keeps telling me you just have to continue. And the communal communications on explain a bit that there's a service I do provide. In fact, I won't go into it, but we had a bit of a success here this week. Finally, a long-running thing this year got cleared up in a successful way, at least successful enough for the condition. And a lot of it, suppose that, you know, differing opinions could see different things. I think it confirmed again, even when you're blind to what's coming down, if you stay to the known, you find the black and white and stick to it and start, whether or not your sense of free, your spirit of being free is insulted, when you're up against this thing, the beast, you have to really follow what it expects as while you're looking for a way to make an out. And so a situation got terminated, disposed here this week, and I was just glad to see it happen. And a part of the answer was to, even while blind to the process, the due process that should have been expected and didn't look like it was happening, and actually in a way wasn't, following the black and white as to what was expected, I think contributed greatly to having a proper disposition, or a successful disposition. So I just want to, I know it's kind of nebulous there, but it just confirms to me what I've been telling you behind Woodshed. And I just don't, I don't just explain a deceptive condition. Lots of people can see that. But, in how this condition affects our existence, but I offer opportunity to see not as it's promoted or even as dismissed by people who, you know, can see it in the beginning, but to expose the foundations of the deception, and then once familiar, bring some measures which can be taken to counter it. And I'm on record. I said that we're in a time of deception. I guess we're always in a time of deception, but this is going to be a very focused time that, again, Operation Hindsight 2020, it was clear within the first few months as societies around the world, we did not see what happened at 9/11, the triggering response. And we're, again, suffering that. Hopefully, though, and the more the ridiculousness continues, more people see it. My hesitation is that we're not going to really assert ourselves. And the concentrated evil sits there. So what I'm trying to do behind the woodshed is expose the foundation of how the deception works, how to look at it. So in other words, once you see it, you make it tangible, you can deal with it. And so as I bring this stuff behind the woodshed, what this means is being able to look at existing evidence, not our opinions, but the evidence to anticipate or even predict future events, to prepare for them. And like this is a prepper kind of condition. We got to see what's coming at us before we can either avoid it. Hopefully we avoid it. Again, with prior knowledge, timely knowledge. We gain the knowledge by putting some effort and responsibility to understanding what we are to keep for us, a protection for us, when it all fails around us, or there's few to help us. And that's kind of how I feel. There's few to help us. And so there's no reliance, actually, on much of anything. And it's a bit disconcerting, but at some point there is the foundation. Again, put yourself on a foundation, the rock. Don't put yourself on the sand. And even when you find yourself on sand, keep touching, looking for, and reaching for what you can find as a foundation. And that's why I kind of say, go to the black and white. That's at least an evidence of what is to happen objectively that no one can complain. Well, until you hand it to a judiciary that shouldn't have it, who are in on the fraud, as we've been watching and have been. And we even have a court case coming down. The relevance of the Supreme Court may be, have been, they just fired a shot across the bow saying, it looks like the United States Supreme Court relevance is becoming less. And so, having knowledge, start finding the knowledge, the real stuff, and applying it to get it early enough allows us to avoid the more negative conditions. And a lot of us, I come through, like a lot of people that may be listening behind the woodshed, the so-called patriot side, where people just wanted to be left alone. They had rights, if you will. And I didn't know the real what I think I can see is the more accurate condition, if not the real condition, that we've been living and never been really free. As when I ran across the Title 42, Section 1981, and really read it with the bright view, the clear eyes, the understanding of what the words were telling me, I realized it was a set up prison, and the more perfect union that was set up by Lincoln was the military construct. And that's hard, very hard and difficult to find another more accurate view. But having the knowledge of that, see, now it allows me to, well, hopefully I'm coming here behind what you had to show you how you can be more prepared to avoid the more negative aspects, to, even if you have to get engaged with it, you can avoid the more negative aspects. And hopefully, what I think part of the answer we got this week was, you do what's right by the black and white, then the other side's going to fail. And I've told you that before. You can assume they're going to fail. You just have to watch how and know how they fail. And so that's another aspect about all this, that you have this knowledge that's it's a sight. Again, you have to have those eyes to see and the ears to hear. And maybe that's why I don't have a lot of listenership that I thought wanted to protect themselves. And it's really not easy, but it is necessary. So in looking at what do I tell people, I always check myself. One of the checks I use is the accuracy of my observations, listening for confirmation of my findings and suggestions based upon those findings. What I tell you to look for, and then what I suggest based on that, what might start be happening to be done. I go around over time. It takes time for the rest of the world, if you will, to come with the point, and notwithstanding the fact that all those things that come with the point later are already with us in the beginning. They just don't have those eyes to see, actually. Or they have the eyes to see, but they have no will or responsibility to solve a potential problem, as I've been attempting to get people to do. More evidence of the accuracy of what I've offered relative to all this is found in a link that was sent to me, an interview, Dr. Peter McCullough. And again, I'm not always understand when I offer this stuff, it is always with a grain of salt. It's always with another continuing eye of discerning, even within the context of what looks to be somewhat of a proof. These are never blanket ratifications. However, I'll take what I can get. In other words, to confirm that I'm on the right track to tell you, because this is the multiplication of the problem. If I get it wrong, then most of you that accept what I'm saying, and even when you do the research, you still have a mind that you want to accept what I'm saying, you have to really look clearly at what I'm saying and do this original study for yourself. And it's okay to not understand how some of the pieces come together. We can add, you know, we can answer those questions. But you really have to think talk about the critical thinking, the critical application of the actual evidence and the responses. But looking at general response on what's going on, Dr. Peter McCullough was being interviewed by Joe Rogan recently on a video I received the Alex Jones show was doing. And I've told you, all these folks, I don't follow them, I don't listen to them. I only know about them if someone sends me a thing. And I trust that was an important thing to go look, and I appreciate that you focused me down to find the certain things. This was a short excerpt, but it was Alex Jones reporting on this Joe Rogan interview. There seemed to be some brothership going on between those two people interviewing these Dr. McCullough, who's been around a while. He's kind of like a David Martin. And I'm always careful on their status, but again, at some point, I'm looking to confirm, is what I'm telling you turning out? Are other people starting to see the point that I think is important? And if not, then, if I find not, then I have to go reassess what I'm telling you and have told you and correct the record. Right now, I'm sitting okay. And again, I think I can show in this link, the good doctor says that this is his quote, his statement, that this has been a coordinated and planned, the situation that we have with COVID, and a lot of the choir here would understand that. I'm talking about confirmation from what other people believe as an expert, right? Other people have a better voice to be better proof for them because they're not listening behind the woodshed. Can't come to a broadcast that only has a couple hundred contacts a week and say that there's a mass people listening on what they actually should be doing. But the good doctor says that this whole situation has been coordinated and planned to cause, quote, fear, suffering, hospitalization, and death. And within the last, just the short, last short 2 years here, now we have mass medical crimes being committed against children, which was also the focus with Alex Jones, who even now agrees in the broadcast that he is not doing it. So all his talking, and this is not necessary to diss anybody on this point, but all this talking that we do to identify the evil is not stopping it. And even Alex Jones is figuring out now, to all their listenership, they got to do more. But you'll listen. The problem I have with a little bit of this video clip, there, no one's offering what. I have, and I think I can stand confirmed that I have correctly. But this is the problem, and this is where we all have to start spreading the word, if you will. That's what I've been trying to get people to do. Like, you live in Florida, you see DeSantis is your knight, if you will. He's completely against all this. Why don't you hand him the keys to the kingdom relative to shutting it all down for Florida? He's probably the most vocal and the most assertive right now. Show him he hasn't gone quite far enough in his communicable disease laws to be able to say, we don't need no stinking federal money. We don't have no stinking communicable disease. We can't identify one. And put it out there. Those of you in Florida have that ability to do that. But even Alex Jones is now saying that he is not doing enough. For someone who has such a following, a millionaire in the business of all so-called alt media, he is realizing he's not doing enough. And this should hopefully make a turning point. I don't know if it'll follow through, but this is, I think, for those few of us, thus the remnant of us that would may listen to what I'm saying, have done the research to show and understand what I've been saying is correct. You see it for yourself. You know right where to go in your statutes and say, yeah, they didn't do the duties and obligations right here. We don't even really have to get beyond. Why don't we get the listenership to Alex Jones on board? Why don't we get the Joe Rogans on board and get the doctor on board to understand that they can, they're all the stuff that they have to say and prove that this was all a crime, they can show it in the black and white. They can then take all their listenership to pour the energy into focused attacks like I've been suggesting. Alex Jones is saying in this video he has not done enough. He goes, we're not doing enough to fight this thing more. All right? So therefore, Alex Jones agrees with me that you all need to get you behind Woodshed, just like I've been suggested for over a decade. It only took this long for these celebstitutes to come to the point. And yet they still won't tell you really even begin to offer where to begin to do that, more than maybe, you know, a little bit of protesting here and there. Vociferate a lot and extensively is really not going to cut it. So I'm asking, maybe someone can suggest to Alex and Joe Rogan either to contact me to so I can kind of point them out quickly on how all that can be done, or you, as I've told you before, I may not be the one that can talk to anybody so directly. I need to have maybe work through people that can get it done. And that's sometimes not an easy task, where I become the source of the information, but I'm not the one that communicates it. However, the message I send behind the woodshed to everybody and the methods needs to get out more. And so I'm asking again for the help. I only can do so much. In fact, part of the reason why I'm at RLM is I sort of found myself a place in the world, if you will, of what I could commit to and continuously. Why you can hear me here, and the condition that I find myself in, and the meager, even as meager as it is, I can come every week to come and make a record of what I hope people will listen and pick up for themselves, even for themselves, even if it doesn't go global, if you will, that people can be protected and understand how to protect themselves at a distance, not get involved. But contact Alex and Joe Rogan. Contact DeSantis. Contact all the newsmakers that are out showing you that they're not going with it. But understand the fraud, that they're still not going far enough. Any of these people that are talking, even the good doctor, who are not explaining, even though they explain the condition, they're not explaining how to counter it. Not explaining the first steps of failure in the officials to out the mass crime, the organized crime, is not really helping anybody. It keeps the noise up and not the action up. And now, Alex, I have to embrace this, even though I wouldn't embrace Alex Jones, for as much as notices he gives people, there's no follow-through. And it's on to the next thing, on to the next memory hole type situation, which he then touts as the thing he told you about, and that seems to be the environment, the sphere of what within which he works, and he's validated in that, but it doesn't do the rest of everybody any good. And I'm not saying that to judge that. I'm saying that just talking about how much you've told people, as I say here, as much I tell you, if you don't pick it up and do something with it to protect yourself, it's all useless. I've wasted a ton of my life doing this. So Dr. Peter McCullough, he agrees, if you look here, listen to what he says, and this is notice to us, he's a doctor, I'll take some of this stuff if he's being honest. Listen, you gotta listen to good information, take wise counsel, you don't take all counsel. And I think he makes a suggestion, a part of it, because I feel that he's confirming what I've told you. He agrees that contagion control is through the mouth and nose. Not as a mask filter that doesn't work, but inside your body. It's right. The entry point is the mucous membranes, essentially. And that's just as I've been suggesting from the beginning. Part of what I've suggested to you, if you pay attention to your mucous membranes, when they start itching or burning or whatever they're doing, feel like something's crawling or burrowing in your nose, you got to do something real quick. And this is where I understand why ivermectin can work for a time and then not. If you don't jump on it real quick, it gets the advantage. And it gets into a place where something like a hydrogen peroxide won't work. And what I've jumped to, because I did find some substantiation for it, again, adding iodine provodone, which actually tempers down the 3% hydrogen peroxide. When I'm feeling like there might be an invasion going on, forget the COVID, just any invasion, I use a spray in my nose and in my mouth and inhale it. And if it doesn't kill that right off the bat, then I also find the symptoms of whatever it might have been that might got through that I delayed. You really can't wait. If I'm sleeping and I feel it, I jump up now. I don't need to be sick. So whatever that is, and whatever the theory is that makes me feel that, because there's some people that don't think there's viruses at all. But at any rate, I have my own technique to limit, and hopefully decently well, and so far so good, the attack where the thing that may be coming, the invader may be coming from the environment. It hits your mucous membranes. And so that's where I spray something that is things, a combination of things that are known to be a broad spectrum biocide, I guess. And so this doctor is saying you control this thing through the mouth and nose, not by letting the stuff come in your mouth and nose through a filter, the system that doesn't work, by attacking it there. And so you want to make that environment as inhospitable as possible. So to Dr. Peter McCullough, I agree. You attack this thing, any of these things, under the theory of a viral pathogen, you attack any of these things through the mucous membranes that you have. Now, your eyes, be careful your eyes. Don't mess with your eyes. Just keep those out of the way. Don't treat your eyes, but at least go through your nose and your mouth and inhale, especially for the lungs. Whatever you think you find, always for you. I don't know. I can't speak for you, but I can say this is what works for me. Now, he's saying and confirming that's the vector, the attachment for whatever this viral pathogen theory is. Now, why no? He's critical. Why no one, an official, has never used that as a mitigation measure is a problem for him. But for me, that's beyond the point because we haven't had an official that has developed the authority from establishing the jurisdiction to have a say that anybody around the world actually has what they're claiming is this emergency. And you'll never hear that from these people, Rogan, Alex Jones, or this doctor you have behind a woodshed. And some of you have read enough to see you see the black and white, something was supposed to happen, it didn't, and that would be all the cause we need as a people to shut it down. And we haven't. And that's, again, a dismay to me, and I don't know what more to do, but to keep here and keep saying it. And follow now, use other people more people listen to than me to say, okay, here these people are now saying identical to what I've been saying before. Can someone who is more conducive to go to engage Rogan and Alex Jones on all of our behalf, try to, and never stop being persistent to try and get them to understand that there's a thing they can be doing and there's a thing they can tell their listeners to do. Now, a little interesting thing, a little side note, but when you get the video, But when you watch that video that you get the link to in the blogcast or when I post it in a couple hours, I'd like you to I'd like to know from anybody, just anybody send me an email, markandabeast@protonmail.com. I'd like to know whose face it is in the middle of the depicted spike protein caricature at the time mark of about 11:38. I want to know whose face is in there. I want to know what the game is. I couldn't recognize. It looks a little bit familiar, but I didn't want to get lost. Someone might have a better visual on what that is. Maybe you see more pictures than I certainly do. But yeah, go look in that video about 11:38. Go look in the depicted spike protein and tell me what, right in the center, what's that dot face that they're making? Who is that? Is there a lead right in there? Anyway, looking at all this, accepting now, Alex Jones and Joe Rogan and this doctor are now saying, here's the condition and this is, and we're not doing, and Alex Jones saying, no, I'm not doing enough. No, we're not doing enough. I agree. I can't embrace that even enough. Anyway, the point of all this to say again is all the experts and celebstitutes are only telling after the fact what you could have found before you should have responded to immediately avoid the very man-made catastrophe created under a color of natural emergency destroying your lives, every one of you. And now we're moving on to your little ones and the lives of your little ones, those future generations that the technocrats want to destroy, and they promise that they will. And when you look at their plan and you promise they're focusing on the future generations, that's what they're talking about. You're watching it happen as planned. And I told you that December of 2019, medical martial law through Operation Hindsight 2020, and you've watched it unfold. You've watched it unfold the way you've been told behind the woodshed. But not just that. I've explained that how it created, how they're able to do it, and where you find the Achilles heel to be able to, if you start, begin, or at least eliminate them, or at least put a shield up around a barrier between you and them, or at least extend the distance between you and them before they start to do you harm. Again, the notice is the news. That's the notice that you have time for response. If you then you have notice in an interaction, you have time for response. You have to know certain rights. And they're not constitutional when you're dealing with people. And so you have a whole different thing, and I've explained all of that, third-party problem. It's all there to, this is what's been planned against us. It's an organized criminal syndicate attack, and the military's up with it. I can't even fathom how that was all working out, that there's so many people that are just absolutely baseless in how they approach this, notwithstanding all the oaths they take. And all that. It is like you watch it and you see there is just nothing that anybody really understands. And as I told you, COVID-19, the plandemic, this fraud is bringing this out in spades, and that's what's being exploited in us. What I keep coming behind the woodshed to help, hopefully encourage everybody to diminish or negate in their lives. And if we do enough, then it goes away. Much better than just ignoring them and going and putting yourself at risk to the police state, like I see happening in some states now. Or the UK, I think it was the UK, some young folks eating at a restaurant. They all got arrested for not wearing a mask. None of them did what I've suggested they needed to do to establish the record that they aren't the risk, to establish the record that they can't be, that there's no jurisdiction to do so. To demand upon the trespasser and the cops or the organization how they have violated the law. And you know that law. How we were, I don't remember the gentleman's name. If you didn't want to hear it from me, he says too, the incident report, you make your incident report. You go to the one who's responsible for that place. None of these young people understand this that wherever they just got arrested. They're not understanding this in the United States. We're not immune from this ignorance. And yet I've been talking about this for the entire time and before it started. So I agree with both Dr. McCullough and Alex Jones. If you didn't hear it from me before now, when you read that, when you listen to that presentation from Alex Jones on the link that you'll be sent, we are facing a coordinated and planned event to cause fear, suffering, hospitalization, and death. And that we are not doing enough to fight this thing more. I would actually say we are not doing anything appropriate to stop this. So I suggest, again, it's time to get you behind the woodshed and bring those miscreants destroying your lives and the lives of your offspring to justice. If you didn't see this as way past drill, I don't really know and understand what more to say in a way. And I've said it's not about identifying now that it's not a drill. It's what are you going to do about it? And then I've offered what you can start to begin to do. And in confirmation, those that begin to do that start to run the system, the miscreants, into a box canyon. And they're slippery. And so it's not so easy. You get a criminal wants to be maintained being a criminal. And then they, even if they're an honest criminal, they don't want to admit, and the attorneys are right there in the official situation to tell them, don't admit. Deny, deny, deny. That's not justice, and that's not adhering to an oath, a duty, which you can, in black and white, obtain and expose is a failure. So, again, moving this thing through, spreading the word, getting this my word out, it's going to be important. I may not be my own best promoter for sure. That's obvious. In fact, people have tried to help, and it falls on lots of deaf ears. And then now we're running into a transition period, for RLM. And it sounds like the replacement crew will provide a broadcast continuity for Behind the Woodshed. Behind the Woodshed. And thank you all of you all who you are. To that as well, whomever you might be. I'm not involved in a lot of that. Again, I tried to focus on what I could do best instead of trying to do like I had before, trying to make sure that lots of things were being taken care of in matters that maybe other people can do better than me. And so part of that, again, it's like the delegation thing. It's not like, and I've been a little bit scarce. Well, I'm so busy. I really am busy. I really had to focus and analyze my time. And really, this broadcast and this time, I knew I figured I could commit to it. I have. I've been able to. I'm blessed to be able to. And it really pushes me to a limit, notwithstanding I have, ideas that, I'd like to have more energy in my life and mind in my life to be able to help more. But I realize that there's just a certain point, a certain extent that delegation is important. And that's another thing. The mutual help is really important to me to see. I used to be someone who tried to solve everyone's problems and, this is what you can do and this is what you need to do and this and that and the other. And I found out if anybody who needs help or wants to be helped doesn't initiate that, then you're pushing a wet noodle up a hill at some point. And it's tough, things are tough enough. But anyway, the crew replacing Grimner. I likened it to a vine taking the controls of a helicopter, and we'll have to watch the watch as he gains control, understands the controls of this helicopter, and I observe that I think Grimner left us with enough altitude, he should be able to do it. So it's just going to take a moment that I think we're going to be able to continue. The broadcast should be helpful. We'll be running into, we'll be running into donation time again. I understand that's being worked out and transferred as well. So, again, we're just going to be, for you, for the listener, you just show up every week, as you do. And I hope, and it looks like, the rest will be handled behind the scenes. And we'll see what loose ends there might be as it moves along. And so that will allow this thing, this continuing enigma, Behind the Woodshed, and that I think, again, and I can't remember, I think I heard Redneck Dennis, who has a broadcast here, I think on Saturday, he's been doing a little bit here and there, he's been explaining this, he believes too, he's the newcomer on the block. I may be the oldest layer of dust yet, it's hard to know, but he's the new kid on the block, who believes that this network really has a place to go, and I believe that. And I've been waiting. I've actually been sitting here waiting. But my invitations don't go far, so I can only go as far as the invitations go and drop on the floor. It's going to take someone else to do it takes someone else to be interested to do that, to bring the type of people together that I enjoyed working with in other networks that I was hoping RLM could become. because I found it, for me, in perception, a lot of people that are knowing what's going on, they end up, and they find their own little niche, and you start lining them all up. We can actually talk, with, if you will, broadcast to broadcast between us to help fortify, confirm, add on, addendum ideas. It was, I felt, very cool. So, it's just an interesting time. It's not that I'm happy to hear about Grimner, and he's made his decisions. I appreciate all of that. I can't imagine having to make those decisions. I'll be blessed that I don't have to. Again, Grimner, you'll be missed. But I think, as you've seen, people are willing to step up. We'll have to see what goes on, watch the dust settle, and then pick it up from there. And all that's going to allow me to continue to be focused on being committed, committing myself every Sunday again, given these other demands, I mean, that I attempt to push away. I do a lot of work just pushing away for this time period, which is not just me broadcasting. I have to do setup on Saturday night and then bring it again and then do all the posts on Sunday. I'm totally out of commission from Sunday night, essentially, to Saturday night to Sunday. But I'm going to be able to focus and continue to bring the miscreants behind the woodshed, which I've done for almost 12 years now, January, coming up January, about 8 years of which right here at reallibertymedia.com. And again, thanks to Grimner, being able to just, low-key as he is, the guy that he is, bring us in and make no real demands. In a way, I mean, really no demands, except for you have to kind of understand what you're going to do with your broadcaster page. I suppose I could have interjected more, but there's no sense. There's no sense to step into some place that someone else is doing the job and doing it well. So for those of you that are out there, there's no demands, really, other than some, what do you say, the technical aspects of getting on the internet. That's all set up. And this, I hope people appreciate, there are no advertisements. That's the other thing that makes a hard transition to go to other places that have advertisements. If I do a broadcast that's 2 hours long, not many, if none, no broadcast network will pick it up. Because they got to throw their 10 minutes of broadcast every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever, of advertisement in. That would make my broadcast maybe 3 hours long if they could break it apart. And so I hope you understand what Grimner was establishing. And I've heard, even though he didn't want to make this big, I was hoping for listeners. We did our best, but they just don't want to show up. To me, the internet's like this inert contact point. RLM was made, behind the woodshed was established, and no one came. And I say that generally, no one came. No, they went over to Alex Jones and Joe Rogan and others, all kinds of people. And so there has to be a shift here if we, the people, have any concept of what we're going to be up against and dealing with. But for those of you that are out there, there is still and going to be continued a place to broadcast each week if you want. And in fact, there was no demand so much so. Is like when I went to, long time ago, I did an interview with the late John Stadtmiller. If you haven't heard, he died apparently, at RBN. He wanted, after our first comment, he wanted me to be on RBN, but he wanted me to do it every day. And I was at the time, I just could not, the amount of hours it takes to do a broadcast every day was just beyond what I could do. I could do nothing else actually. There wasn't, in RLM, there wasn't even that demand. In fact, we have, if you get in early on the offer to broadcast, you have content that you want to bring, and they're not even limiting it to what at this point that I can tell. If you get in early on the offer, you'll have probably your choice of available time slots. So quite the deal for those of you that want to start pulling back. I'm thinking back on the old networks, all the people that great people that I worked with. Not everybody was great, but a lot of people were great. Working together, coming together in one place, you get just great information, all working together. I really enjoyed that. I haven't seen it since. I was hoping for it here, and it sounds like there might be another push to try and do that. It'll take people with content coming and a place to do it, and RLM is offering that. And that's open to everybody wishing to broadcast. It's a little bit of technical stuff, but not overly done. I guess I should say it's going to be, as I see Redneck Dennis, truth-filled content. Not truthiness content, but the truth of the matter, the facts of things going on. I think that at least the Behind the Woodshed does that. I do that. That's part of my mission, if you will, is to make sure everything I'm doing is, I guess, the truth as applied. You know, there's always lots of truths if you in that other context. But relative to what I talk about addressing, we try to bring exactly the black and white, the objective basis. There's no in-betweens, and we try to protect ourselves with that. And so any of you that want to do something, you can contact the, I understand we have a new job title that got filled. You contact the RLM custodian, Vin E, in the RLM chat. And I understand there's a couple of them, but find the RLM chat where Vin E is. He'll set you up, or he'll have help you set you up with someone else to do the account, and you'll be broadcasting in no time. You'll know Vin when you get to the proper chat room. It's he'll know him. He's the guy carrying. He's got the keys, all the keys for the website he's carrying. You can hear him as he moves around the chat room. So, back to regularly scheduled programming. Coordinated and planned to cause fear, suffering, hospitalization, and death. And we've been crickets. I'm amazed. So, get that link in the broadcast about Dr. McCullough breaking down the plandemic with Joe Rogan as broadcast from Alex Jones. Revisit what I said earlier. Understand that we got him. He's actually the big names are finally coming to the point. You just can't talk. There's a do that has to happen, just what I've been saying since I've been broadcasting. And the do that you need to do is the do that's right and correct. And this brings me to my first story, the report. The thing that shut me down from further working with some issues, if when I found I was working with people that working with counties, I found out if they don't dismiss the bribe that's going on and just denounce it, I would not further help, because they'll never, ever get to the point when they're biting the hand that feeds them. We have evidence that that's possible, that there's a thing going on that's not good. And we find it out of the Texan, the city of Brady sends back $1.3 million in coronavirus funding to avoid federal government strings attached. And they looked at their problem, as I said, as I explained what was going on. So the first city now, city, not a county, but a city, says we're not going to take that because there's these strings attached and they are dire to what we do. Now, what I don't understand is how that circumvented the declaration that there was no, declaring that the fraud, there was no actual infectious agent that they could find. But now we see the proof that not only were these connections and contract bases connections to Treasury of the United States for receiving this money from the American Rescue Plan Act, the ARPA. Add a little bit of D there, I think. We got the military again. The U.S. Department of Treasury contract that's attached, it eliminated the say, apparently, as they thought they were seeing it. And they looked at that and said, we're not going to do that because we have a higher duty. And this is a city, which gets me kind of interested to hear. Because really, the county is your seat of power, but the city is an interesting enclave. And they said this would interfere with our being able to serve our people. So, here's now evidence that the bribe is on. It does interfere. Once you see this, there's in the system, the decision makers are not going to buck that system for the buck. And it takes the seats of decision to denounce the buck instead of passing the buck. And then they can free themselves up. And so every jurisdiction, as I said early on to a colleague of mine, I said, there's a bribe going on. And until the county denounces that bribe, there's nothing more to say. You're going to go nowhere. And so this is a little proof right here. You can take this model and move it out. There's just everywhere you live, you can start pounding on them. And in a way, I'm just wondering, you know, I talk about the mama bear, and now that they're coming after your little ones, those future generations, your progeny, those future we the people that have to be free of some in some sort if we're in the United States. Elsewhere, I don't know, folks. You have it in the rule of law and democracy, but you got to dig a little bit deeper underneath the crown authorities and things like that. But in the United States, the mama bears can take all this and just start not yelling and screaming, not becoming even a threat that they can call. You don't want to do anything that causes you to be the ability to give them the power to the seats of decision to call you a name. If you bring all these objective bases and you start showing better examples of what should have happened. This story does not tell us, other than there was a dislike, an immense dislike for the leash that you put on, it did not say that they had also found that they didn't need it. And that's, I think, I need to keep saying that. You need to add that. You thank you for doing that, but you didn't. Here's when something else you need to also say no. Now that you went that far, let's go to the law, and we're gonna you do the same thing with the fact of the non-existence of the infectious agent. That nobody in the town has actually got this assessment done that anybody is an infectious principal carrying an infectious agent. Go the next step. As I said to DeSantis in Florida, those of you in Florida should say to DeSantis, okay, you've gone that far to make it a political denunciation of Biden. Now why don't you go to the truth? The truth is there's nothing to argue with Biden over because there's nothing in the state to be having an emergency. So remove yours. Eliminate this thing. And so going on more truthiness, the truth here, right? We're not just not truthy. We talk about this thing being imposed upon us. And I was denoting that the 9/11 was the instigation of that thing. It had nothing to do with what we were with the show that they put on. However, legitimate 3,000 some odd people died. That is a war maneuver. Expect collateral damage, folks. But we see the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, that sprung up around that, is directly attacking. What do you attack as a military when you attack a people? You attack their communication system. First the militaries and then the so-called civilian, don't you? Well, we have it. Associated Press demands answers from DHS on government investigation of journalists. Now, a private corporation, as a press organization addressing the DHS, for investigating journalists is no different in the United States than I told you that they're doing to Assange. The United States government will do it to Assange that way they're doing it at home. Here, a week later, folks, I can't get this information out quick enough, and I can't do it. I don't feel comfortable doing it so far ahead of time that you sound like, well, an unsupported idiot. I guess we all can sound like that, but I mean, that it gives any, see, I don't like to also, there's another foe out there, and it's eliminating that foe that if you come in too quick, they can denounce you and they can persuade the people away from the view. Now it's not available. Now it's not available to them to do so. And I say this with experience. It happened to me with the miners. We had a whole group of miners. I was asked to go up and listen to a miners meeting relative to, it wasn't with the district, it was way before that, when I first got involved, and they wanted me to listen because the miners had listened to what I was saying about what we were supposed to be doing, and they had to go to a lawyer to do something. And we all set up, it was up in Portland, Oregon, in an office, and we listened to the attorney, and he made a couple wrong statements, and I made a clarity, and then I did a mistake. I made a two-word sentence error. And do you know that attorney was able to take that two-word sentence error? I wasn't wrong in principle, I was wrong in the statement, which he recites immediately, and I didn't have the counter in my hands early on before I understand how all this works. And he was able to persuade 15 other miners to go with him. And he has been the biggest black mark on the mining situation since then. That my ignorance was used against me, even though I wasn't wrong. It was used against me to persuade people to do things they should not have done. Is what keeps me coming back to talk to you today. That I am so cautious. And if I'm in error, that's fine, but if you're in error, you open yourself up to having someone exploit the little bitty problem that you may have stated and gain the day, gain the mind of people. And so we have here Assange, I don't go too far in the things I really don't know, where there's a generality of things going on. If you put this in a military context, and DHS is right here to prove that's what's going on, we see, as I told you before, that it's, I guess if you're not a press, you don't have to worry about it. But these journalists have been under attack. It's part of the military attack in the United States, a furthering attack against the United States, making an even more perfect union from the Civil War. And we see they're coming right after the civilian media center, the people, attacking the First Amendment. And so it comes out, folks. It's not unknown. It's just that we need people to start addressing it. What other people need to do on this that are also interested, other journalists, is check and see if the Associated Press and their attorneys are doing this attack, counterattack correctly. And another thing then, in confirmation of what I've told you, what I'm concerned about, that this COVID would cover up, and lots of people who do any research are seeing this as well. I want to just say it's confirmed in this next story that this COVID would cover up the care that people needed. We now have horrible care. What Trump continued in Trump scare that Obama scare started, and this is not just them, this is all the legislators that got together and the industry that got together to pull this off on you, which was kind of an extension of the Hillary Clinton cradle to grave nonsense, which is alive and well, that what they covered up in COVID, what they used to cover up in COVID was going to start destroying, allowing people to be destroyed because their ailments, all those comorbidities would be covered up and not preferential to this fraudulent condition. In other words, your health care was going to be destroyed. Again, we hear the nurse saying in that one article, this is horrible care. It's way worse. This is planned death care. As we now see doctors diagnose 23-year-old's cough as COVID-19, turns out it's actually cancer, and she's lucky to be alive. And this, as I told you early on, would be a real serious thing. If you've got a health problem, or you have a grandmother, grandfather, anybody who's got a health problem, you really need to take responsibility on rethinking what they're being telling you. They're going to deny us care. I've been pretty sad, surprised a bit. Some friends of mine who have had care have not complained that they've been mistreated in that care. So there's pockets possibly of doctors that are still good, notwithstanding this other thing. But this was going to come down. Here it was that what she had was cancer, and what they covered that up with was COVID, nearly killing her. 23-year-old woman with the United Kingdom suffered a devastating cancer diagnosis after her doctor initially diagnosed her with persistent cough as that of coronavirus. That's not coronavirus, folks. Notice what they did there. That's not CV-19. Coronavirus is a virus of general common cold. It's not this special synthetic condition. So they actually tell the truth in that paragraph, but that's not what the TED title comes off. The point being that this COVID was going to cover real medical care deficiencies, and now we've got the evidence of it again. A public service announcement, I've been trying to be that as well. This is also information for you to keep your head on a swivel about what's going on, how the doctors are being manipulated and or allowing themselves to be manipulated, and the things you might bring to offset that. And part of that's that communicable disease hierarchy of obligations and duties, requiring the first report, which is to a doctor your first question. Where did you file a report on me that I was a suspect? Without my consent as well. Now, you may not have that doctor very long, but you don't need someone who's offended by the truth either, do you? And this is going to expose the other part of the problem of the so-called medical system. So here they're willing to kill people, and we're going to see something out of the UK here when I get down a little bit down the road here of what the UK is buying up and stockpiling. They don't mind it. They're going to use COVID-19 to kill people. Luckily, she escapes that and gets the care, apparently, that she needs. And you read the story, you can see what the other ailments that are going on, they're indicative of a whole lot other than so-called coronavirus. No common cold does this stuff, and neither did what they claim the COVID did, even as a synthetic bioweapon. It doesn't do what she had. But the doctors were looking right past it. Why? There had to be an incentive. The doctors that truly cared, that I have heard, looked right past a lot of the nonsense and continued to care for their patients one-on-one without the noise. Yeah, there was a little bit of that in the background that they were pushing, but again, I've been kind of satisfied with the people I've heard around me that I have contact with. Their care has been pretty straightforward on what they needed to have. So, on the one hand, they're willing to kill you. They're willing to cover and kill you, but over here in the United States, we have an interesting case. I don't have enough time to go through the back and forth on this. This is a very dynamic potential. But it looks as if the Supreme Court's starting to whine about how irrelevant they might be. On the other hand, they're starting to explain where the problem might be. And this is another one for me about looking at, I think, the judiciary is has created the self-inflicted wound where we have this abortion case in Texas. The Supreme Court's ruling on Texas law, abortion rights supporters see no clear path to victory. This is an important case to look at. How Texas, we don't want to mess with Texas. So Texas wrote this interesting abortion, so-called anti-abortion bill. What it actually does, and this is the other thing, I don't understand the question. It limited, it doesn't stop abortion. It said you can't get an abortion after 6 weeks, I think it was. So up until then, you can still get an abortion. Apparently that's a little bit of a problem. And then what Texas did, which is very interesting, they made it possible like a federal citizen suit. They gave everybody the power of an attorney general, citizens. And they negated the officials from coming in to claim that someone was giving an abortion after the six-week period. Now, how all that would work out, I don't know. But this case has really caused a bit of a stir relative to the court itself, the Chief Justice coming out and whining a bit. That the way they wrote this makes the Supreme Court and Chief Roberts himself agreed with 3/4 of the majority. To hear that he is giving warnings to people about the fact that if we don't listen to the Supreme Court, you're attacking the Supreme Court and the organic establishment was what I fixed on. So looking to some people are divided, are dismissive of the abortion issue if they believe in abortion, and if you don't, then you believe in that side. And this is one of those cases that you need to look at very carefully. This may very well be coming in to expose the weakness in the judicial branch at the highest levels. And this is a very important for us to start to understand where the story I got when I found this was this headline, and it piqued my interest because this spoke to our JMD lawsuit in 2013 that Badowski wrote, Chief Justice Roberts warns the court, the bar, and the country. And he goes on to write, at a time when America is bitterly divided, democratic institutions are challenged at home and abroad, and the Supreme Court shows signs of joining politicians in suffering from declining public esteem, Chief Justice John Roberts is offering a strong warning to the Supreme Court, the American Bar Association, and the nation about the sanctity of the Constitution. Now, let me stop right there for a moment. I don't know how much more I want to read. This is really interesting. I went and I could not believe that the American Bar Association was mentioned in what he said, but remember, we sued the Bar Association for being a subverter of the organic establishment. This author, if I got it correctly, is supposed, I guess it's claimed that he's a liberal author. John Roberts seems to be like a rhino. He seems to be more of a liberal persuasion, notwithstanding where he came from. And so this was an interesting take on that political side as well, which starts to become way too much for me to analyze this effect. What I wanted to focus on, because it was important to me, was this author points out the American Bar Association being told that there's a problem developing. And he writes, he goes on to write that the latest decision surrounding the controversial abortion law in Texas, Roberts joined in this opinion by three liberal justices of the court, offered a strong dissenting opinion against key aspects of the majority opinion. The principles behind Roberts' dissent is in the Texas abortion rights case raise fundamental legal questions about whether individual states can nullify constitutional rights decided by the Supreme Court, and whether the Supreme Court will lose its unique place as the guardian of constitutional rights in facing increasing public disapproval. The principles behind the Roberts dissent, if they are not highly respected in cases before the court, will have profound political impact in the midterm election 2020 and presidential election 2024. Now, I'm not so sure about all that. Let me get back because I lose the point here. The Bar Association is being put on notice by what appears to be a liberal-sounding conservative, if you will, justice. But if you don't keep this thing where people do what? Keep confidence in this institution, we're going to lose relevance. Now, the extension of that becomes our problem with COVID, where the executive was without constraint by the Constitution. So where I believe we've exposed the Supreme Courts of every state, of the United States, because they're bar-centric, Bar Association-centric, that you have to come through that private union, that guild, that comes from way before, and as we proved in our JMD lawsuit, agreed by default that they subvert and attack and destroy, commit treason in violating, making war on the laws of the United States and the state. These people, who I have explained and can show, likely in your state, you can find it if you do the research, subverted your organic law to become to install as a domestic corporation, a foreign corporation, which they bring in, and supplanted the laws of your state. That's why I think that's where all the states went to statutes and codes in a 10-year sequence of time, right in time for the federal, again, connection, Federal Tax Act of 54. And so now we're back into commerce on all this. It's why you're going policy most likely than not laws. But this is a very complicated, not really so complicated, very involved, many lines of a tether coming on the reins of the horses of this wagon, which is way too much for me to analyze. Want to point out, someone sees with a liberal mind saying that this statement, even though I went to go read and you'll get the link to it, his dissent does not mention the Bar Association. I found arguably one sentence that does imply the legal profession as a whole. Is maybe our first view that your judicial branch, everywhere essentially, is starting to shake. It's possibly about to come down. So I don't agree necessarily on some points with what Robert said because they did the self-inflicted wound. He says you got to understand that the Supreme Court determines the law. Well, I've got some court cases where they didn't. I got some court cases where they ignored the law, but the policies they set up to be able to do it. The weak case is one. I can't remember the guy's name. I don't know why I can't remember. It starts with an F. I think it happens in 1942. They destroyed the congressional grant power by saying that commerce would be an attachment upon a grant. That is in law, an absolute violation. So that's one thing. I won't go on and on. There's so many. You go through and you find out the Supreme Court has caused a self-inflicted wound, and we come to the time when we find out that the Bar Association promotes sustainable development, that the treasonous subversion of the Republican form representative government, and we may be seeing the first cracks. It's now being exposed. We better tune this thing up from the inside quick. You better, all you states and you attorneys in your states, you better tighten this up. Because if we start to show that we are not relevant, we're going to lose the controls that we've established. And my problem, as I said before, is if that happens, then the executive wins, and you've watched what they've done to you. So this may be actually a telegraphing of the future, where no one will care about the law, because I told you there is none. Fraud vitiates everything, and we got that on the monetary side. All right, so you're all underneath these debts. That's the prosperity they talk about. That's austerity they talk about and sustainability, the thing the Bar Association sets up. We go on and on the connections. Came rushing into my mind when I read this observation, this opinion from this Berdowski guy about this case, even though I don't see the Bar Association mentioned in the dissent. We're watching the the timbers shaking on the establishment. But it's not the organic establishment, I guess I want to point out. I guess the little bit of hope is that black and white says that this was a subversion of that. And you are that as far as a political establishment. The people are the organic establishment, not this subversion that's going on. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's really time to start pushing like a Tesla vibration machine. Hit them, now hit them, boom, 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 in resonance with the with their structure to resonate them into destruction. A little bit of energy from a lot of places all at the same time now. It's time, folks. I've been telling you this is here. So I was kind of excited to see this. Totally blows me away at what they're doing, what Texas figured out. Let me also suggest that this becomes a political, like he says, Roberts is right about this, it becomes a political action. Whoever holds the reins at the time controls. And they will make, the states will learn to make laws and make very special ways of executing those laws for remedy that is going to take it outside of the judiciary to be able to handle. And they will be constrained by the very existence of the told you. When you want it, you want something to happen, you make a law. It looks like Texas, somebody in Texas has figured out a way to make that happen. On the other hand, I don't agree that this has been negating a constitutional right. As I said, in this dissent, Roberts only dissents to one quarter of the three quarters of the decision to allow that to continue because they were, again, there's a whole lot of things that are going on. They sued the wrong people. You can't sue state officials relative to this. The state officials can't do anything that's on a citizen suit. That's like a private attorney general concept that people have heard about, but you have to, it's a very special use. This is what this law creates that in Texas. And so there's a whole lot going on that was dismissed about the case that negated some authorities and abilities for abortion rights people to counter. Now, what I looked at in there, I said, be careful. I'm not looking at the abortion, well, it's still abortion for 6 months and not. I'm looking at what people are learning on the inside to empower certain types of functions that are actually political, not lawful, not even legal, and no review, none whatsoever. That's all part of what comes into the people and the power inside the government at the time. It's very dangerous. And so whatever, I haven't thought about it, more about it. It just focused me on this. Bar Association is being told you're losing control. We're losing the confidence of the people. And I say good. But be very careful of how the dust settles by saying don't trust in them and let them know and don't agree and have your local officials, because it's all local, your answers are all local, to do things. You got to be very careful that you don't actually violate very core principles of the establishment, that you create more problems and less remedy. Anyway, this is a very important and interesting thing. I hope some deeper thinkers on this will jump in and look at this, extend this out, extend the ramifications of how this works, because I think this is telegraphing a serious problem coming up in exactly in the direction that it's needed to go. Then where does it need to go? Well, we got another indication about where the UK wants to send people. They want to kill people. And right after the last broadcast, I ran across something, a link. I think I got it off minds.com when I posted there. This came up. I could not find the document that is shown in the video, but I did find a corollary to the document or a source that you can read it for yourself. If you want to see the cradle to grave and they decide based on death committees, how to work this out. We have a video that you can read that they show a different document. That's why I'm going to include it. The UK is stockpiling more end-of-life drug, midazolam. And what they show is a tender offer for the purchase. And I found, and I'll read from the document I found out of the co.uk website, a tender offer for the supply of ITU medicines and end-of-life care medicines for COVID-19 preparedness. Just read the first part, I think, here, just to give you the idea, if you already haven't got the idea. What are they preparing for that they need end-of-life drugs for? What are they causing? I guess that's all open-ended thought, because we got no proof. £374,000 for description of the tender offer to purchase invitation to offer for the supply of ITU medicines and end-of-life care medicines for COVID-19 preparedness. The authority seeks to top up the stockpile holding of midazolam and an amount EOL, end of life, and noradrenaline in 8 milligrams for INFS ITU medicines in preparation for further waves of COVID-19 in winter 2021, spring 2022. The contracting authority intends to use the Department of Health and Social Care Adamas e-tendering system to manage the tender. I think I'll read finish there. That's all we kind of need to hear. End of life medicines to top up a future wave of COVID deaths in a condition where they are forcing people to get that, or pushing the fourth mandate of vaccinations, which will push people to advance problems of COVID-19. I hope your mind kind of swirls a little bit on this one. This cannot be a sole example. This is, I think they're telling you what's going on. I think our concern of the dire consequence of what they've been doing is kind of mentioned here, impliedly at least. How are they predicting a wave on something that they said it prevents the wave and anticipating that it's going to bring people to the point where the people will be agreeing that they need to die? Ironically, maybe not too tactfully, what we start to talk about today in this broadcast. Interestingly, as I think about that. So, what is coming on? What's going on, folks? What's been the disaster situation? How miserable will people be to ask to be put to death? And it's planned ahead of time. I guess I'm going to move on. This is just, I don't know what to say. My mind just wants to freak a bit, and it just wants to shut down, and I'm just looking at all this and saying, what are people allowing to themselves that was all avoidable? And so, what else do you say? Rest in peace, folks. They want that end of life. And they're dealing with it on the context of a synthetic chemical weapon attack that the government agrees to. Now, so they want to put you away. And again, that could be your little ones, folks. End of life on COVID wave. And you're going to get to the point when the decision is, do we put them down like the mule that they are, the little useless ape that they've been? Or do we let them go? Who decides that, folks? They're not letting you have ivermectin. No, you're going to be put on a respirator and killed with a ventilator and drugs to do the set, put you in a coma, right? It's just near death. They're predicting they're going to have a wave that they need to do that, even though every indication is not only is it fabricated, it's gone away. There's nothing. And then if we lift it's been preventing things, and moronic variant is really not what it's all cracked up to be. What are they doing here? What are they planning for the winter? And I look in, I think I saw quickly just the chat, you know, dark winter, all this other stuff. I don't know, folks. It doesn't bode well for those that are on vaccines, is all I can say, because I can't imagine when you figure out that you're somebody that can fight it and you can diminish it without all that, and you do it timely, you're on it, folks. You're taking responsibility to not give it up, give whatever it is that this thing might be, the time of day to exist on your body or around your body at all. But you can attack it, that there's, Dr. McCullough will tell you, a timely and everything, timely and adequate circumvention of quick will handle most of this. Preventative care will help a lot. That they get you into the point where they're ordering end of life on something they know that they've been telling you should stop should terrify people. That alone should be enough for people in the UK. And I'm going to suggest it's not the sole place to go. There, it's likely in lots of other places. What's coming up here in the future? Which loved one is going to die near you? Has to be an open question. Maybe nobody. But what if you start seeing them literally dropping like flies and then asking to be put down? Boy, self-inflicted wound on them. They've set you up for the takedown, and they're winning at every point, and all of it can be defeated if you hit the first failure, which was the fraud. up front, not by your opinion it's a fraud, but by the fact that they failed to follow the objective basis in every jurisdiction relative to communicable disease. So they don't care about killing you, put you into life. Your little ones are going to go underneath the jab if you let them. You don't have a word in your mouth on how to stop it. When you do, it's the wrong stuff. They get around you because they got a bunch of lawyers doing stuff about that, attorneys attorneying your life for the benefit of the so-called sovereign and these sovereign citizens that have taken on literally a sovereignty beyond law. And now the Roberts is saying, well, if there's not going to be any law, you're going to make the Supreme Court irrelevant. And then the Bar Association's on the front of that. They're willing to kill you. They're willing to manipulate and exploit the system. In which in Texas, you're not going to have many abortions there, at least for only the first 6 weeks. There's going to be a lot more babies that are coming out. They're going to go into a school system, not necessarily for Texas, but in Maryland. The people are becoming so aware of what's going on and pulling their kids out of school that it's causing the bean counters in the school districts. Maryland spent $93 million educating kids who weren't in school. They're cooking the books everywhere. Fraud is the best practices of the day, as I told you would happen in the 2008-2009 financial fiasco. You're seeing it now. The investigation discovered that thousands of students have been marked whereabouts unknown by their schools. The outlet identified several ghost students whose name appeared on the rosters even after they had stopped pursuing public education, which can, quote, boost the amount of money a school receives. So they're lying, cooking the books, trying to get more revenue, and not teaching the kids, the little goats, what they need to be teaching them, all for money. The story shows it gets worse and worse. But what I found interesting, whereabouts unknown, really, when I saw that phrase, it just came back to me. This is what Child Services calls a runaway as well. What abuse is all right here as well. This is like a systemic lesson they've learned, applied in different places by slightly different terms. So they're claiming students that are not there, but maybe not ever there, in order to get the funds, and your tax dollars are paying for it. The students that are there are not being treated very well with that money, and all this starts to come out. Again, all this stuff is coming out partly because of the COVID, because of the strain that it put on the system. The weak links start to, I don't want to say be that crass, the stuff starts floating in the septic, and you start to identify how much is in there. And this is the problem, is it becomes so much like, where do you fight? Well, you fight somewhere. You find the thing that bugs you the most, and you go attack it, and you don't let up. You're in a fight for your life. You don't let up. You don't let up and be wild about how you fight. Hopefully, you're coming in making really strategic targeting attacks, and you're not engaging yourself first. I mean, the military does have a lot to tell us. They attempt to attack long distance before they even have to risk anybody first. That's why cruise missiles are kind of interesting in that regard. You want to be able to get them, pepper them with the information, setting the record before you get there, before you engage them, so you don't put yourself into a condition, but you out the system for being the criminals that they are and allowed to be also. Again, the abuse to people, to little ones, to kids in the school, to little goats, treating barnyard to animal abuse. Remember, the jabs are veterinary, military-starting veterinary-type conditions. All you got to do is read enough, you find it all. But here, it's not just in the United States, not just in a state, but over in Germany, ritual humiliation of children in Germany. Kids are forced to go in the front of the class and state their vaccination status. The vaccinated are applauded. I mean, I don't even want to read more. These titles are telling you the schools are really programming centers. And in Germany, no less, all the connotations about, what they did to the Jews and what the Jews are doing to their own people all keeps coming back. This is a spirit. It's an evil spirit in people. This is the fallen nature of people. When you get to this time of the year and I'm thinking peace on earth, goodwill to men, there is no goodwill in men, it seems. Or women either. The whole thing, over the last decades, I look around and I say, this whole thing's a big deception. And I, well, for one, just sort of, as much as I can, just started to fall back away. I can see why people become hermits. But as I showed you, one of my other experiences, I tried to become a hermit out in the middle of nowhere in the forest, and they came and found me out and harassed me and harassed me and harassed me, and I knew enough to be able to let them harass me and harass me. Because they couldn't get me, they couldn't arrest me, they couldn't find me for doing anything wrong, even though they kept saying I was illegally trespassing on public land. I had the answers I needed then, before I even got to mining law. So, again, these lessons, my experiences are not one of happiness anymore, not one of being free. They're one of a continual prison in different contexts. What seems that you can do is neutralize. It seems that most, I have no problem with being happy and finding, fun times and all. But when I started to see the war that we're in, it's time to war. It's time to defend. It's time to stop that oppressor. And I don't have much joy in my heart. It's not like that I don't have joy. It's not like I don't seek it out and try to find it where I can. It's that the overall condition is not something I'm real happy with. And I've reduced this whole peace, honor, goodwill to men negation to, well, we were told when Cain killed Abel. When I finally kind of saw that and realized that notice to us, brother can kill brother, and I'm someone without a brother. See people who have brothers, and I wonder what that's all about. See great relationships in brothers. Again, see family. I can't even imagine. It doesn't even equate, but it happened. And I saw that's really the tale here for all of mankind. We really do have fallen nature that will come out. It can be teased out of us. And so then it brings up for my mind, the protocols of the elders of Zion. Someone knows you better than yourself, and they'll exploit every one of those weaknesses. Everyone, even the ones you don't think you have. And that's the problem. You don't know that you have them. So they are humiliating kids. Honest, innocent kids, innocent of also what they are blamed to be done, being unvaccinated, which is innocent of being a contagion. There's people in the world that will humiliate them, and no one steps up to stop it. It's our problem. I just don't even know. I don't even know what to say. What do you say about that? I get this voice in my head, at least a little bit, off in the distance. Okay, well, you said what to do about it. Well, I want to say, yes, I have said it. Those of you in Germany, you go look at your communicable disease law. You'll find out how to protect your little one. They have not done, your officials have not done the requisite duties and obligations to identify any one of those unvaccinated are a principle which needs to be controlled, and they don't need to go to humiliation, which won't stop and prevent the disease from spreading anyway. If they are identified to be a victim, is one of your first answers back instead of humiliation? I just don't even know. I want to choke people. I see this stuff. I don't try not to get angry, but it's sitting there. It sits there to be wanting to get. It sits there. My hands want to go strangle somebody. I see this stuff. Yet, I know I can't do it. There's nothing going to happen, and I'm not going to be a wild guy. We get lots of people suggesting, why don't we just go hang a few people? Yeah, that's a good sentiment. We ought to, maybe. Miners did it a long time ago. It wasn't anything to far tar and feather a lawyer and then run them out, literally run them out to the end of the district. And so, it's in my heritage if I was to submit to that. But that's not going to go and fly far, at least that I can see. And no one's brought me a better answer to show I could unless it was all of us. And maybe I'm weak. I'm not that bold to be a few, right? But we are tolerating this. If you think the humiliation was just there and in the notice, in the news to us, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. New York Governor Kathy Hochul imposes statewide mask mandates. Violators face criminal penalties, $1,000 fine. Courts may have temporarily suspended the Biden administration's vaccine mandate, which is not. I'm going to have a report here. They just undid it. But tyrannical lawmakers on this roller coaster ride that Roberts complains is making us irrelevant. But tyrannical lawmakers are doubling down on the assault of medical autonomy in the blue states around the country. It's not just the blue states. But anyway, so this governor in New York is going to reinstate the statewide indoor mask mandate on Friday, warning the New Yorkers who fail to comply with the mandate will face a $1,000 fine. So, again, what have I offered for you to do? Go to your communicable disease law. You go attack her. I don't know. There's lots of different remedies. I can't even discuss it, which one is right for you, because I don't know what the event is that you can, that you feel comfortable with doing. But at least you can make a record to identify how she has authority to mandate masks, which you wouldn't get too lost in efficacy, but where she has the power and jurisdiction to order a fine, having a third party fine you where you have not been found to be an infectious principal carrying infectious agent. And that infectious agent has yet to be found and cannot be found because there is no test. And you just do a quick proof of that, which is going to be, they've also, now they're anticipating that in the news. I'll get to that here, hopefully, as we move right along, warp speed, our own warp speed, just skipping across the notes to tell you, we're given notice of what these criminal people, these evil people in the world are willing to do to the innocent. That's you, who's just an unvaccinated, or even someone who's got COVID but and survived. You're the same. You're all of us. We're all of us that are being oppressed. No, anyone who doesn't have that finding, that determination, and assessment that we either are the infectious principal that may infest in the rest of the population, and then won't listen to reason and want to run around. That's the other thing about it. That we have denied all that to the government, and then that it gives them this power. Absent all that, and we allow this, it's a shame on us in a way, but this is just terrible. Terrible to even watch it and listen. They even get down again. The kids are not safe here. And they also reference residents. The residents who failed to wear masks, you just make a record that you're not a resident as well. If you look right through these articles, you can see all the standards, the statuses they put, and you just deny all of them. Most importantly, see, that resident would be someone who is actually the resident underneath the jurisdiction of the state health official, which has to go through that communicable disease process. And they go on to hear, say, warning certain thing. I quote, I don't want to go back again, ever again, to where people can't go to their job safely, couldn't congregate, kids couldn't go to school. The isolation was had a devastating effect on the human condition, and we are still dealing with the fallout, she said. Is a self-inflicted wound by Cuomo in not addressing and following the duty of the communicable disease law. Inventing an emergency which ends up being not natural, but man-made and fraud. And the mitigation measures of which are man-made chemical weapon and fraud. And nobody brings that up. And everyone in New York can go after this. I can't imagine millions of you licking a stamp and sending it in. Just bury these people. And then send that copy of that question over to your police and say, here, you're part of this. Why don't you arrest her? You start getting everybody. And where was the judiciary? In fact, where was the judiciary to agree in the fraud and impose their own fraud? Start speaking in the correct way. Start fortifying yourself in your own way, in your own place that is in the law, and showing that they're out of the law. They're outlaws. And relative to this, getting back to the stockpiling of the end-of-life chemistry, wasn't it, I had a link here, I forgot to move it in earlier, but the name Jack Kevorkian came to my mind. The UK is doing end-of-life. I know there's end-of-life medicines, but specific to COVID wave, they anticipate showing up. Kevorkian got put in jail for the very same thing, and now it's okay. Again, how do you believe and trust in a judiciary that's looking at law? So Jack Kevorkian is committed to a jail, an innocent guy by today's standards, shows you the fickleness of what law can be and is, and how it's improperly applied in some regard. So the UK government's doing end-of-life the chemicals that Jack Kevorkian was convicted of murder, if you will. Even though he was saying dying is not a crime. We should have that discussion and that ability. Was outlawed just a short time ago. Is now protocol by the government for an invented fraud and synthetic man-made disaster that is all about profit. And a lot of other things like population reduction, population demand shift. In other words, you get the pensioners out. Now we'll just deal with the future. And those future is the ones that we're now indoctrinating and humiliating to come into compliance. Would even Hitler have done something this heinous, actually, to the children, actually? Shows you where we are and how much, how weak we are as a people. So while they're trying to kill you off, end of life, and they want to keep learning how to keep people, the best of you, the best compliant ones living, we get this. Maybe Jules would appreciate this little story. She probably read it. I don't know where I haven't spoken to her. Again, the Twitter has been ridiculous to get through. I see a couple of you send messages, but they disappear, and I can't get at them. So, anyway, I got to one last night, I think, and one this morning. So, but a successful xenotransplantation surgery, genetically engineered pig kidney transplanted to human body. Has to be a plan because they want to kill you off. They want to diminish you. They want to give you mental health problems. But they're going to now genetically engineer a pig kidney because these are transhumanists. And don't forget, there's a zootropic condition. Once they get this genetically engineered pig kidney into a human body, be careful it's not eye of newt and wing of bat, and they bring you back into susceptibility for the COVID virus by bat wet market. So here we are now, less than 2 months after first breakthrough surgery at NYU, a Langone Health has performed its second successful investigational xenotransplantation procedure using a genetically engineered pig kidney. This second surgery is a sign. It's a sign, folks. It's a sign, folks, of continued progress toward a potentially alternative supply of life-saving organs. Only if you get your vaccine, which they program, and now you are property by their blood and other organs, right? Do you think these things aren't going to be privatized? Do you think that genetic change is not a private property? Leading enough here. I don't have to. This partly makes me sick. Fascinating stuff, though, isn't it? Fascinating stuff. They're going to make you the pigs that were driven crazy over the cliff in a prior notice to us in the Bible. That's what the medical profession is willing to do. It all sounds great. And to those that need a kidney, I guess it's perfect. But why is it that's always attached to an ulterior, despicable motive on the backside? I don't know. My mind just starts to shut off. I don't know what more to say. We tolerate this stuff, and we watch the devastation and destruction because we look around us and we're okay. We're not really, but we're okay. And we could be okay. And we are told that we could be okay if we were just responsible and jump on illness. You don't not look at certain things. Don't ignore certain things. Weigh everything. Like I said, I'm not totally against Western medicine. If it wasn't for Western medicine, I wouldn't be here. In the form of an antibiotic. Well, an antibiotic combination. So I'm just kind of neutral to some of this stuff. But when you can see that it's harmful and see that officials want to do harm, we have a real serious problem when we have things that we're told are better and we see a story like this, two common over-the-counter compounds reduce COVID-19 virus replication by 99% in early testing. What are they speaking to? None other than diphenhydramine, an antihistamine used in allergy symptoms, paired with lactoferrin, a protein found in cow and human milk. The compounds were found to hinder the SARS-CoV-2 virus during tests in monkey cells and human lung cells. I wonder how they did with pig cells. And so what's this diphenhydramine? But other than Benadryl. And this was consistent with my, again, to point this out, would be consistent with a remedy to my bee venom model. Again, I attempted to trap some bees, offer them a place to live. It didn't happen, so I've got to do it next year, next spring. We'll see if we can get a swarm. But before I got into it, I started looking around. Well, how toxic is this bee stinger stuff? Don't even know if I'm really allergic to it or not. It might be, but I don't know. But let's get some Benadryl, because that's an antihistamine that's going to cause some things and responses in my body not to get overloaded, and I at least might be able to survive a trip to the hospital if it goes that bad. Otherwise, I'm fine. But my, I upped in case SARS-CoV-2 is something. More importantly, this chemical weapon can be spread. I upped the Benadryl capacity of my stores. But I'd already started that with the bees. So here we have Benadryl, found to be effective in the beginning studies, with lactoferrin found in human milk. Who'd have thunk it, folks? Who'd have thunk it? I think women have a real good place for our future, don't we? And so I said, well, okay, that's kind of a joke, but maybe not. Then I heard this story. So those of you that are out there, maybe carry around some Benadryl. Why? Because it reduces the amount of response. The antihistamine is reducing the response and inflammation and the problem in your respiratory tract with the flooding of the liquids. It dries that up. Right? It helps to keep it down and can keep it in somewhat of a check. Is it, again, an answer? No. Don't rely on any of this stuff. But check into it. Look at how, what's your initial response when you think you have something going down is, I'd rather throw some things I know you've used before that might work to get you to the next step, because this may be the you step into the problem and you have to start doing it, be aware of doing it right, more along this along the progression to avoid their end of life chemistry or protocols. And so don't take this to the bank. It is fitting a certain model. It is now coming to the point. But human milk, women are becoming more important here if this is the case, right? Well, then I find this story. Blew me away. Nursing Activision Blizzard employees say their breast milk kept getting stolen. Blizzard has found itself in the midst of lawsuit scandals and demands of CEO Bobby Kotick to step down over a series of accusations over workplace practices. Mostly recently, a female employee was claimed that she was demoted for reportedly sexual harassment, leading to Twitch star Pokimane encouraging streamers to stop playing Blizzard games during their broadcasts. Run down to the no employees who were breastfeeding have claimed their needs were neglected and alleging that they had put up with unsanitary conditions, which was the problem. Abusing breastfeeding parents in a workplace, and then the theft of human milk. After reading that other story, are there some people way ahead of us? Amazing. Okay, don't know, folks. It's amazing how this story's come together. Yes, it could be an ongoing comedy that I'm involved in my life, and this is what's placed in my way. But I just don't understand, because that's exactly what I was thinking. Where are you going to find human breast milk? They say cow milk, but then I found out, we don't have to work at all that. Remember, I said a chemical name. There's something called lactoferrin. It's actually a prescribable thing, which that's the other problem. Maybe you can find it not prescribable. I didn't look that deep. The point is that you have to start looking and seeing what might or might not work, and you prepare. If my venom, insect venom model is correct, you're going to need to keep the symptoms down while you're moving to a place to get resolved the thing that is attacking you, whatever that is. And so, moving on. It is amazing to me. It's a Comedy Central in some regard, behind a woodshed. Looked at just right. But just in, the FDA is colluding with USPS to stop and destroy packages of ivermectin being mailed to patients. Now, why would they do that, folks? Why would they focus all this time on the FDA instead of doing what they should be doing, finding an infectious agent? Why would they want to work in collusion with the USPS, with whom I can tell you, we know now, USPS is just another evil organization. They are not the postman. They are not the post office of old. They are part of the usurpation of our country. And they're not above calling or defaming you when you attempt to ask them to deliver the mail where it's supposed to go. But here we have the FDA colluding with the USPA to stop and destroy packages of a medicine that's approved all over the world, is cheap, to do other than COVID-19 as well, which leads me to believe maybe, I think part of the answer here is they're claiming that the product does not have a dosage on it, and that would mean that they will require that you have to go through a doctor. But they're not saying the ivermectin is not a thing. They're just claiming it on a technicality that it needs to be confiscated at the ports, if you will, at the places of entry. And so you can't get access to it when you order it. So word to the wise here, read the story, find out what they're doing. But the U.S. Postal Service is working with the FDA on something they have no authority to do. And here, if those of you that have been trying to get ivermectin in for whatever, maybe it's time to tell your doc, get a doctor if you can afford one, and have them give you the dosages and tell them it's for a toenail or something, whatever you can get away with. I don't know what ivermectin can be used for. And then that should make it legitimate. But anyway, you got to look into this story. The FDA is working with a co-conspirator to deprive you of the medicine that you need. And what this seems to be is all about getting you to be focused on what their protocol is. And apparently the UK believes that's going to be end-of-life medicines for everybody at some point in the next wave there. Then it has to be an invented wave. And you also know that it's usually going to be with those people that have already gotten the vaccinations for the most part with these variants. All been now coming out. Now, who brought this story up was none other than the attorney, and I think it was Adele Bigtree, I think his name was. I didn't quite know that last week. I still don't quite get it. Aaron Siri, he was the guy that asked for the documents that was then petitioned by the FDA to allow them 75 years or so to produce the documents. He writes in the Twitter, the FDA is working with the post office to hold packages containing ivermectin. The FDA could better use its resources to, I don't know, publicly release the docs submitted by Pfizer to license its mandated liability-free earlier vaccine. It says V here, earlier than 75 years from now. And he shows you on this link the letter, and it's detained subject to refusal and administrative destruction. So offering you, those of you that this might happen to, there is an administrative notice of your notice and time to step in and defend your rights. That's what this letter is about. Don't disregard the power of that ability, that due process that letter connotes. But the attorney here that's fighting and getting all these documents now come across another document where your chosen mode of prevention is being denied to you by two different governmental agencies. One's a service, not even the post office anymore. Be put on notice about what's going on. As U.S. COVID vaccine mandate revived by Supreme Court showdown looms as an appellate court in the Court of Appeals on Friday reinstated a nationwide vaccine or testing COVID mandate for large businesses, which covers 80 million American workers, prompting opponents to rush to the Supreme Court to ask it to intervene. The ruling by the Sixth Circuit, U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati lifted a November injunction that had blocked the rule from the Occupation Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, which applies to businesses with at least 100 workers. So I won't stop. This is the roller coaster of justice, injustice that goes on. I think people don't appreciate it when you look at what the rules of the court are supposed to be. And again, always sitting behind there, as I told you, that there's no justice in the court. So notwithstanding that problem, that elephant in the room with a bull on the back of the elephant looking at a mouse. U.S. COVID vaccine mandate revived. Well, this is the roller coaster. And I told you, we got to be careful how this is going to work through. And if the attorneys don't ask the right points, and it sounds like they didn't, we don't know really what the answer is going to be, but it gives the system, the injustice system, time to figure out how they're going to make it plausible what they're going to eventually allow. And because of now, I think it's going to be interesting to watch Roberts saying what he says. I think they've been put on notice. They're going to have to make it a little bit tighter how they're doing this in order to not lose faith in the judicial branch, which is co-opted by the Bar Association and all their guild, the private union. So it's off again, on again. I offer to you how to subvert this whole entire thing. And it's to go through your communicable disease statutes. In fact, again, I don't know how this has not been pressed forward by the states. And if they did, they'd have to claim that they were receiving a bribe, and they're not willing to do that. So now you're back with the attorneys, deny, 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 which means you're not going to actually push forth the sovereignty that you have as a state, notwithstanding your vociferous claim of it. like we're hearing in Texas and all this other kind of stuff, even in the other case, the abortion case. So if the sovereign, if you see the sovereignty of the state stepping up and having some valid merit, then maybe there's some power there, but I'm telling you that becomes a political power, and that's not even a political power more than it is a private guild who runs roughshod over what people believe law is and will never and has never yet, at least as example by the so-called COVID, to expose the right and correct problem or give advice that the local jurisdictions have no authority to do what they're doing until they follow the law, except beyond the presumption, which never give them any authority. So here's up and down, they're going to be, this mandate goes on and down. And I've told you how to circumvent the OSHA. I've also showed you, relative to exemptions, how you use the website from the Department of Labor through Title 29 on how to press. You can even go through the Department of Labor's website where they tell you at least there's a bunch more, but the first three things that you get to challenge the business never did is how you challenge that entire thing. And they're supposed to have a meaningful process around that, which is a whole lot more than denied by the employer. They have a record they have to make that's obligation and duty on their part to establish that you as an employee don't even have to address the problem more than to complain that they haven't done it. All that's on that Title 29 website, I said, as this stupidity goes up and down the roller coaster of injustice, continues to delay this entire thing and continue the idea that there's some viability in it, when if you understand the district courts were supposed to be the determiners of the law, period. And thank goodness now we see for this appeals process, but that was set up in order for us to be destroyed by it as well. It gives us an appearance like justice is being done. But when you understand when the court cases that you see how the federal government was established on their district courts, and I'm not going to get into the fact of the legislative, although it is an issue, and no one's doing this one either, between the legislative court and a constitutional court, that the district court decisions are to be law. When you see how many of these courts that were supposed to be law have been in error, I don't see how anybody can actually find trust in that system. The very thing that Justice Roberts now whines about, they may be losing. Their relevance may be in question. And one opinion says he was actually speaking to the Bar Association, which warmed the cockles of my heart, because that's exactly what we pointed out in 2013, where the Bar Association did not respond to the very same allegation and worse. And so it follows through, keeps following through. A new opportunity as well. I've been offering things of who to contact, give them the things they need to do, test these people that will vociferate an objection to certain political memes and put them back in the law, the black and white, who you can do that. I said those early in the broadcast, and I do that regularly on the broadcast. Here's another type of interesting in for somebody who might be wired this way to think about it this way. Medical examiner contradicts sheriff, says detainee got deadly COVID case in jail, where someone's now using COVID to have a cause of action. The medical examiner contradicts the sheriff's denial that it didn't happen. I found this very interesting, and I'll read a paragraph here just to frame it up. A rare forensic review by medical examiner, rare, this is a one-off thing that you get an opportunity if you want to do it, review the medical examiner's office contradicts the sheriff department statements about the disputed death of a San Diego jail detainee, Mark Armendo. Armendo's family is suing the county for wrongful death, alleging the 34-year-old contracted COVID-19 in Vista Jail and died from the virus in August 2020. The sheriff's office denies the allegations, telling the Union Tribune last year that Armendo did not contract the virus in custody and was not hospitalized as a result of COVID-19. Found interesting when I read that maybe someone could address the sheriff in his defense of his own self, and for those of you that would, and can stomach talking to a sheriff, maybe he's a good guy, I don't know, and show him how he can actually present the COVID, the communicable disease law of his state, and said that he could never be showed to have COVID, or contracted COVID, or hospitalized for COVID, because there's no the virus. And you offer that to the sheriff, and then you offer to tell him, now when you see this, and you use this, can you go out and arrest everybody else in the state, as your goodwill help to stop this nonsense in defense of yourself and everyone else, being you are the sheriff. You're the local authority for law enforcement. So, anyway, I found this a pretty interesting opportunity, a rare opportunity nonetheless, sitting right there for anybody to do so in San Diego, if you want to look at this and go through that way. Just another way to needle them a bit, and actually in the truth, in the law, the black and white. The offer to help the sheriff to protect himself against a medical examiner who could be shown not to be doing medical examination at all, right? Easy to prove all that, I think. I've given you the 2 years worth of information to be able to do that. It's as simple as going to your communicable disease statute, looking for the duties and obligations, and looking and seeing whether or not Mr. Amendo was ever given that status and by how. What was the record for that? And if not, there's no proof that supports the medical examiner. Why? Because the truth is the truth, that the sheriff could not have caused anything, and they shouldn't be held, and the people of the county should not be held liable for something that was a fraud. How's that? For as much as I am feeling bad for Mr. Amendo, that he was in jail in a corrupt system anyway, and particularly in California as well, that's not the problem here for me, because the reflection of this is contaminating everybody. As we now hear, too, and trying to cover up this problem that there is no virus because there is no test. CDC failure, internal investigation finds design errors and contaminations in first batch of COVID-19 tests. False positive reactivity in earliest RT-PCR tests due to contamination and design errors. The earliest batch of COVID-19 tests distributed by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention exhibited false positive reactivity of negative control due to flaws in assay design and contamination in one of the assay components, according to CDC internal investigation published this week in Open Access Journal, POLSONE. Let me offer not just an assay component, the whole test is a flaw as applied to clinical testing for an infectious agent, isn't it? And so what this error, this story is to try and focus everybody on, oh, the first batch was no good, the rest were fine, because we had an assay component, where the assay cannot do what they've claimed at all. And making this statement just puts to people's minds a peace that everything's okay now. It gives officials the ability to say there is a test. And so you see what they're, you can just watch these folks, they know what their weakness is. Now they're trying to plug that hole. And they've been plugging the hole, likely because places like behind the woodshed, they're being told how they're doing it wrong, and they're being called out for it. And the problem is there's not enough people to follow up. We go down to the second paragraph. The complete SARS-CoV-2 genome sequence from a patient in Wuhan, China, was published on January 12, 2020, and the CDC scientists began rapid development of real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel. We've proven all that's no good, but let me look at this SARS-CoV-2 genome sequence from a patient. Was the patient a monkey? Because that's a synthetic genome, isn't it? It's a chemical weapon. It's a compiled amount of ingredients and components that create it. It's man-made. Man-made. It's a chemical weapon. It has novel lipids, patented property, making it up. There's nothing live in it. Who was the patient? What was the patient from which the data genetic sequence was given to Carolina, Chapel Hill, and more, everywhere. It's spread around the world because of what? The Biodiversity Convention, allowing it all. Years and years, back in the 70s, folks, they set this up. Another thing I want to go to, now on a side, something I was going to touch it, very interesting in a way. I was never really interested in it. I threw it in the chat room last night when I was in, after I loaded up my organization of the tabs. Something I'd like to, if those of you, even if you're not interested actually, but heard about it, something that came up about a crime. I thought I was going to run out of time. Let me, real quickly, medical bribes exchanged for saliva. I better get to that. The CDC, based on the CDC fail in the test, I was going to jump ahead, but I better not. Quickly, CDC bribes for SIGS and saliva to make more tests, to make more cases, that they're going to put through this test that was just the earliest ones were no good. You got a video, you can watch it going down. They're bribing with candy, if you will, cigarettes, Cokes, and junk food to get saliva tests to run tests, but the guy doesn't really identify himself. Just watch what they're doing. Kroger strips paid leave, emergency leave, jacks up health insurance premiums for unvaccinated employees. Again, the innocent are being victimized by all of this as well. I don't have time to go through all that. I've explained how you that are in Kroger's employment can fight that. Fauci, Fauci undermined Trump, misled Americans on COVID. I was stunned at what I saw Dr. Scott Atlas says now, and he's exposing. But remember, this is all just a noise up front to do some protective action, that there's no excuse, and the jurisdiction had no actual prevailing authority over your local. So before we get too lost in how Trump is being protected and that a regime was being protected, don't get lost that that's a story that displaces where the actual authority was, which I've been telling you to focus on, which is local to you. Now, quickly, as I get to this story about something that I dismissed a long time ago, I lost interest, but it is American folklore, American lore, I guess I should say, criminal lore, the biggest crime in history, the hijack. In fact, there was a chatter that used the name D.B. Cooper. I always got a chuckle out of that. I was thinking that D.B. Cooper's in the chat room. But D.B. Cooper, someone has been doing 20 years of study, a subject matter I'd long since forgot, didn't interest me, partly because of some problems with the name itself. How did they come up with this name? They fabricated. The FBI was doing us dirt even so long ago, and this was one of the evidences. The D.B. Cooper Deep Family Secrets video, Dan Grider, he does almost 3 hours of documentary on his study and tracking down who D.B. Cooper was. A hint, it wasn't D.B. Cooper. Fascinating story. He's a pilot and a parachute jumper, which gives him some skills being a pilot, I understood exactly. When he laid on to some things, I said, this has to make some answers, some questions I've always had. Not only did they have the wrong name and they couldn't find the name, how else would he do but do a disguise? Who would be stupid enough to give their real name? Where did he land so he didn't land in the hinterlands of the Great Northwest? He had to be a lot more planned. Very interesting story. I'd like you to see it if you're interested at all. I think it closes the book on it. He does it in a very intelligent way. And I'll just leave it all to you to see the very end. Very, very end is very kind of fun as well, relative to something. And I'll just leave it to you to do. I wanted to pass it on because I found a great interest in just seeing. It's like a chapter closing. And interestingly, a little bit of a spoiler. The chapter closed long ago. And so, interesting how we can be, and he says, and there's a reason why it was continued all this time, and he's got a neat way of disclosing, pulling all that together. Like I said, it's an interesting story. We never really heard what happened. There's a truth behind it. It sounds like he's uncovered it. I'd like you to know about it. And Grimner, thank you again. I don't know what else to say. Appreciate all who you've been, what you've done, all you've offered, all the time you've given, and journey well. Journey very well. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Williams.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like. son. You just opened a whole case of Wolfpath.